Hello and welcome to Mediumship Matters with me, Hannah McIntyre, episode 64. Now, to you guys, it will just be a continuation of every Tuesday, every Thursday. But for me, this feels like a bit of a weird space because I've actually had 2 weeks off. I recorded the last 2 weeks' podcast in advance for while I was on my holidays. And so it might be a bit creaky, but let's be honest, it always is. So I make myself laugh still. Anyway, I'm back from Sorrento and you will probably go, ooh, Sorrento, lucky you. But in absolute honesty, we had a shit holiday. Oh God, guys. It was just one thing after another. My fault, probably a bit more research needed. Now, I know that Sorrento, I'm sure, is beautiful. I have no doubt about that. If you can actually see it, because there were just so many people there. It was so busy, so rammed, that it felt more like being in Oxford Street in London on the last Saturday before Christmas. In fact, busier than that. You were just being jostled around, pushed in a flow of traffic. It was just not for me. And there were various other things as well. I mean, if you've never been to Italy and you're like me and you normally go to Greece, I will tell you now, it's expensive. Sorrento was eye-wateringly expensive for everything, for a Coke. We had two incredibly teenagers with us. Oh, and to top it all off, I got a bout of food poisoning and lost 3 days. So it really was a very, and it was really bloody boiling. It really was a bit of a difficult time and a real, I mean, I cried when I got back to the UK because I was so glad to be home. It was a difficult holiday. Doesn't mean we didn't have a good time. Doesn't mean that we didn't make the best of it. But I could have cheerfully come back, I think at least a week earlier than we did, and been okay with that. So there we go. Lots of learning. But the reason I'm mentioning this to you all is not because I want to set up a GoFundMe to pay for a better holiday. But it's because I wanted to tell you all the flip side of it. So we went on holiday, and with various things, including food poisoning and all of these other things that were going on, I really did successfully down tools for the most part for 2 weeks. I did the odd bit of scrolling on Facebook, but I really did let go of any urge to create, to even think about spirit or what I was going to do. I just reacted to things as they came up that I needed to deal with, and really did have a proper holiday, which those of you that know me will know that is unheard of. And the flip side of that has been really interesting because I have come home a little bit like Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. And in feeling so excited just to be in my house and happy to be here, and I think having properly surrendered, I mean, I didn't have much choice when I had the food poisoning, but just properly letting go, it has created that much needed space, and I've come back and I do feel like I can say to you, I'm in alignment. And I know that I've been sort of off for probably the best part of this year, if not longer, just not quite feeling right, doing things and things going well, but just doesn't have that feeling. It's that intangible feeling that goes with being in alignment that I'm trying to explain to you. I just feel like I'm in the flow again. And I haven't felt like this for ages. It feels so exciting. And I came back and I've already booked a beautiful retreat venue for July next year. Yeah, with its own private forest and swimming in rivers and just a real lovely, I'm going to do a healing spirit guide, renewal, reflection kind of retreat. That's the vibe that I'm feeling, like a proper restful, wonderful collaboration with people and the spirit world next July, 6th of July, for 3 nights if you want to keep it free. Details to follow. I'm still waiting for the venue to confirm next year's prices, but it just feels like, yeah, that's where I'm supposed to be, and here I am in alignment. And funnily enough, our grumpy teenagers said that they just don't want to do any more holidays abroad ever again at the moment, is where they're at, although I'm sure they'll recover. And we are going to Greece in October anyway, so they don't have a hell of a lot of choice. But next year, they have said, please, 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 can we just stay in the UK? And then I was thinking, well, where would I like to go? Because I love the UK. Where would I like to go in England? And I thought, oh, Glastonbury. I really want to go to Chalice Well. I've never been to all those spiritual sites. I really want to do that. And then I was looking at things to do in Glastonbury and I just thought, this is not a family trip. So Amanda is hopefully going to be coming with me and we are going to do a demonstration and possibly a workshop in Glastonbury and also stay over and have a lovely time and do some sightseeing. So it just feels like food for the soul. Does that make sense? It feels exciting. So I feel really, really glad to be in this space. And this is the thing about the spiritual journey. And I know that I'm saying it to you all the time, but I'm going to say it again anyway. It's not about things always going smoothly. It's about you being maneuvered, buffered, bashed by the spirit world to where you need to be. And I think this has given me some real clarity on what I want, where I want to be, and an appreciation for where I'm at, which is always my problem. I can always look forward to where I want to be and achieve great things and still not appreciate them like you should and still be looking for more, what I could have done better, what I could have changed. So that's kind of interesting, I think. So there was that. Now, as I said, I did have to deal with some emergency situations while I was on holiday, including being contacted by a legal team for breach of trademark, which is a new one for me. So as you people who've been listening for a while will know, I interviewed Kimberly Meredith, who's a medical intuitive, several months ago, and I called her a medical medium in the title of that podcast and in the I may even say it in the podcast. And I was contacted by the medical medium's trademark team to tell me, and Apple to tell me, that they were going to take my podcast down if I didn't rectify it. But in all the way, I mean, what is going on with the world? Number one, ugh. Number two, what is going on with the world where you get an email from a solicitor with an attachment from Apple telling you they're going to take your podcast down, but nobody actually tells you what you've done? And it was only because I searched the name of the complainant that I saw who he was. I can't even remember his name now. He's quite famous in America, I do believe. He does a lot of celery juice stuff. Anyway, so I searched for him, saw that his website was called medicalmedium.com or whatever it is, and then realised that I had used the term medical medium and assumed that what it was. Why don't they just drop you an email and say, hey there, you've used the term medical medium, we're going to need you to take it down, we own it. But also, what? Anyway, so I dealt with that. It's just an interesting, you know, world that we live in now, where even in spiritual places in mediumship, you have to be bloody careful. You have to be careful. Yeah. So that was interesting. And I don't know. I mean, am I too naive? Should I be out there trademarking mediumship matters? Should I be out? Maybe I should be. Maybe this is the stuff that I need to do. I just like to bumble around in the joy, guys. I can't be bothered with all of this, but perhaps that is a message from the universe that maybe I need to look into these things. I mean, at first, I did actually think it was going to be my entire podcast I was losing, so I did have a little bit of a panic. But yeah, it's just that one episode, and it's not gone. I've just changed the name and the artwork. Yeah, there we go. Anyway, so that was that. That was quite interesting. Now, I've got some bits and bobs that I want to talk to you all about. So first of all, I've had an email from Denise. And Denise, I really appreciate you getting in touch, because some people have been a little bit offended by my comments about the church and religion and religion within spiritualism and where the line is, even though I made it really clear that I'm just trying to feel my way through it. And this is, I think, a real problem that we have in society these days, where you can't feel your way through anything. You have to know it all and from every perspective. And if you don't, then people will get really cross with you. But what happened to just educating people? What happened to saying, well, actually, you're wrong. Respectfully, you're wrong. And this is why you're wrong. And I can go, oh, okay, thanks very much, rather than just getting really shirty. And I do get it. Like, if you've dedicated your life to a church, I'm not saying that churches are wrong. I'm just saying for a lot of people, they are not right either. And for me personally, on my journey, I mean, I demonstrated at Deal Spiritualist Church, and I might have said this, centre, I think it's called, not a church. And I loved it. I loved the vibe. I loved the people. I thought it was just like so cosy and cocooning and really, really great vibes. But also for a lot of people, and certainly for me at the beginning of my journey, I wouldn't have felt comfortable going into that kind of space. So where do we go? Modern spiritualists, where are the places that we can go? Where can we learn? Where can we gather? And if you're going to circles, as we know, there's a real lack of good circles. So again, I'm reiterating my call to you listeners to start creating, to start making spaces for people and opening yourself up to that space where you're going to offer something for the spirit world, but it doesn't need to be perfect immediately. It's about you accepting that you need to learn and moving through that, because there is a real lack of non-church groups for people to go to. It's a very difficult space to be. When you want to learn, what do you do? Where do you go? Anyway, so Denise, I'm back. You said, "Hi Hannah, as a recovering Catholic," love that phrase, "I listened with great interest to your latest podcast. I myself have picked and chosen parts of my former faith that bring me great comfort and want to share something I've recently discovered. This version of the Lord's Prayer certainly reflects a more loving, wise and spiritual way to honour our Creator and each other. This particular translation was taken from a website called The Living Hour. Much love from across the pond." The Lord's Prayer in Aramaic. There have been many translations of the Lord's Prayer in hundreds of languages, but the one which perhaps is most fascinating to Christians is the translation in Aramaic, the language which Jesus spoke. The following is an Aramaic version of the Lord's Prayer, the prayer which Jesus taught his disciples when they asked him how to pray, the prayer which is the Rosetta Stone for understanding the gospel of Jesus Christ. However, it is important to note that while this version of the Lord's Prayer is in Aramaic, it is not the exact same dialect that Jesus spoke himself. Now, I'm obviously not going to try and read in Aramaic to you all because I haven't got a clue, but I'm going to read the translation. O thou from whom the breath of life comes, who fills all realms of sound, light, and vibration, may your light be experienced in my utmost holiest. Your heavenly domain approaches. Let your will come true in the universe just as on earth. Detach the letters of faults that bind us, like we let go of the guilt of others. Let us not be lost in superficial things, but let us be freed from that which keeps us from our true purpose. From you comes the all-working will, the lively strength to act, the song that beautifies all and renews itself from age to age, sealed in trust, faith, and true. Isn't that beautiful? Thank you so much, Denise, for sharing that. And yeah, that's much more my jam, as Lord's prayers go. So there we go. So thanks for that. Now, I'm not going to reply individually to the people that have messaged me about medication, because I also knew that was going to cause some reactions. I just want to clarify some things for you all. I am not saying that all medication is good. I think Big Pharma is a massive problem. I think that there is a real issue with some illnesses being medicated rather than lifestyle changes being made, mental changes being made. But I still believe and I stand by that for some things, medication is the key. And it's this kind of, the best way I could liken it, now I know I mentioned my migraines before, is if I have a migraine, I can choose. Now my migraines make me really low vibration. They literally plummet me. So I normally know that I'm getting a migraine because I don't get an aura or anything like that. Is I get a bit of an earache and I start thinking about taking my own life. Like it's pretty, I will go from, oh, I'm having a lovely day, love and light, what a gorgeous world we live in, to maybe I just don't want to carry on living anymore. And that is, it will happen within an hour. I will plummet. And I know that that is my sign that a migraine is coming and I will take my medication. Now, to me, it makes no sense for me to ban medication from my life that will just stop that happening, stop that chemical imbalance that happens in my brain, and spend 3 days sitting, because my migraines were 3 days long, sitting in that energy of absolute misery when I can sit in that energy for an hour, go to sleep, wake up and feel fine and carry on with my life and feel good again. Doesn't make any sense to me. So I agree with some medications, there are problems, but I don't think that we should be telling people that crystals will replace medication, except in the sense that if, for example, you've got anxiety and you find holding on to a crystal helps you make you feel calmer, then that's great. But then don't get upset with yourself if on Tuesday that works for you, but on Thursday you're absolutely freaking out and you have to take your medication. That's not a failure. And that's the problem, I think, if that makes sense. When my children were little, and they are the most precious things I have ever had the fortune to be around, I didn't sit there with my child and say, well, you're 1 year old, Elodie, I know that you're feeling really unwell and you've got a stinking cold and a headache, but best just clutch onto this rose quartz because it will heal you. I gave her Calpol. So I think there are balancing within it. That said, I did give them a little crystal when they started school to hold in their pocket and rub to make them feel safe. Do I think that the crystals were magical and kept them safe? No. Sorry, guys, but I don't. But I do think that they gave them a sense of connection and made them feel secure going forward. So that's the payoff for me. And I think there's sometimes a slight patronising thing that happens with well-meaning people in the spiritual community, where you've got somebody who's really going through something and they will say, have you thought about trying rose quartz? I know that you're suicidal. I know that you are on the edge of apps taking your own life and you just can't see the point anymore. But I really think if you hold on to this, it will change everything. And that to me is really disempowering and dangerous. And I think we have to find the balance. I guess it's a permanent thing you have to live with, some mental health issues, certainly in my teenage years and young adulthood. And every now and again, it rears its ugly head. And I do think there's something to be said for finding what works for you. So if you're listening to this and crystals work for you, that's bloody brilliant. I'm so glad. And in a sense, crystals have worked for me because it's been the spirit world. It has been that beautiful opening up of energy that means that when I have down days, there's not many of them anymore. And I'm very lucky with that. But I will say this, it wasn't the giant hunk of rose quartz that I've got that I'm looking at right now in my Reiki studio. It was the work on myself that I did. It was allowing myself to take time, allowing myself to say no, boundaries, not giving so much, listening and acknowledging to the feelings rising within me, being true to myself, expressing my true self, just all of that stuff that changed me. And of course, hope, knowing that there is more than this, has absolutely changed my experience here. And isn't that ironic that in knowing that there is more than this, I have been able to enjoy this more? So I hope that makes sense. I don't want to say that I agree. I'm not saying that I agree with people who are put on medications for life, that perhaps they'd be better off, you know, going for a walk. Let's be honest, look at all the studies about stuff like that. But I'm just saying there needs to be a balance and a recognition within there. I hope that makes sense. Oh dear. So today somebody sent me a message and I just wanted to share this with you all, because it's kind of funny when you are having your own human reaction, but you also take time to sort of step to the side and watch your own human reaction. So my friend sent me a message about a medium that they'd seen last night and how brilliant they were, and they were lightning fast and their evidence was amazing, names, places, everyone was blown away, they were amazed, it was so incredible. And when am I ever going to get messages like that and feel confident enough in my own abilities that my initial reaction is not, oh my God, I don't think I could do this, I'm not good enough? When is that going to happen? Because my initial thing was not, fantastic, this is great, we need more great workers out there, which we do. There's plenty of pants mediums. We need really good ones. My reaction was, oh my God, what if people have seen him and then see me and think I'm a disappointment? And I just thought I'd share that with you because I could see myself having that response to that message. And it's almost like my soul was chuckling and going, oh God, now set her off again. While simultaneously being really pleased that there's been a great medium, that my friend saw a great medium, that she was wowed by him. But yeah, it's such a funny thing, isn't it? I just wanted to share that with you because it's always a funny thing, isn't it? And I'm still waiting after all this time to have that absolute confidence that I'm good enough. I don't know, that validation's got to come from me, because I've had plenty of validation from people. Shout out to the people that messaged me after the demonstration that I recorded for you all to tell me how much they enjoyed it. But even all of that, in that moment, my initial reaction is still, I'm not good enough. I'm ashamed. I don't deserve what I do, etc., etc. And I think it's fascinating. Like when you're learning and you go in a breakout room or you're on a course and you work with somebody and they go first, it's that funny mix, because when they're good, there's a little bit of you that goes, oh no. Oh no. They were really good. Oh no. Now they're going to think, oh, they're going to think I'm rubbish. And it's not that you want people to do badly, but there is that kind of element of, they've been really good, now what on earth am I going to do? And if we acknowledge that that is there, we acknowledge that it's true, that it exists, then what sort of energy does that mean when we're learning that we are sitting in to work? We're sitting there with people who don't want us to do well, but do want us to do well, but don't, because they also don't want it to be so hard when it's our turn. And I think we need to be honest about stuff like that too. So I just wanted to share that with you, that I'm not out of that yet. So if you are at home and you hear about a good medium, or you're in a group and you think, oh bloody hell, they were brilliant, I don't want to go next, that's normal. We all feel like that. I remember a teacher at Arthur Findlay College once saying, you should want the person to before you to be really, really good, because then they've left a brilliant energy behind on the platform for you to work in. And I do agree with that. But I will say this. It's only now that I want them to be good. When I was a student and I was learning, if I'm absolutely honest, I didn't want people to do badly, but I just didn't want people to do so good that I felt that if I got up there, I'd be inadequate. And I know that that is all about me. I'm not saying it isn't. This is all about self-reflection, but it's so funny. So that's obviously coming up for me at this time to work on and heal from. Yay! Healing, the never-ending journey. So there's nothing wrong with you if you're a human and you're listening to this. So it feels really good to be back, and really great to talk to you all again. I'd be ever so grateful if you could please leave me a review or share this podcast. Really, really help me to get it out there and in front of some more listeners. And as always, I really appreciate each and every one of you. And I will catch up with you again on Thursday. Have a great day.